This podcast is a member of the WrestleJoy Podcasting Network. Visit WrestleJoy.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as interviews, show reviews, articles, and more, as we bring out the joy in the wrestling world today.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Whenever you're listening to this, welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. We have another great interview lined up for you today. As always, I'm Christopher sitting here with you. And I got Captain Chuckles with me again today. How are we doing, Captain?
I am doing lovely on this evening.
Lovely evening. And then we have our very special guest, the glitch in the system, Jay Walker. Jay,
hey guys.
How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome. I'm excited to get this going with you.
Yes. That's what we like to hear.
So happy you were able to join us tonight. Very excited to learn more about you. Anybody who has never watched our podcast before, first-time watchers, we're going to get to know Jay. We're going to find out a little bit more about him, how he got started in wrestling, and what makes him passionate about wrestling. So, Jay, let's jump right in. What was young Jay Walker like?
I had the biggest imagination, and a lot of that focus was on pro wrestling since day one. Growing up in a family restaurant, we used to rent out VHSs, and we used to get all the Coliseum home video exclusive VHSs. So anytime a new one came out, you better believe I would grab it right away. Nobody else was allowed to rent that thing. Brought it home, and I would watch it religiously until the commentary was memorized. I watched it that much. I just fell in love with pro wrestling even at an early age.
So during those early years watching wrestling, who stood out to you? Who made you fall in love with wrestling?
So it was like 1990 when I started watching. So Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, and Ultimate Warrior are definitely easily the top three.
The three, right? The trifecta.
Exactly.
Right there.
and very quickly to evolve, Bret Hart was another one who really caught on. Being Canadian too, that obviously helps. And just as the time evolved, right? Shawn Michaels, the Psycho Sids, the Owen Harts, all of those guys.
Shawn Michaels. You're not supposed to like Shawn Michaels as a Canadian. Those two things don't go together.
That's oil and water right there.
It is. It was tricky.
So you mentioned some big names and some people that really made you fall in love with wrestling, but who inspired you to like get more involved in wrestling? Was there a wrestler that made you want to wrestle?
Not so much, I think, the wrestler personally, but I think it was the story of Shawn Michaels building up to that Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12 and just that boyhood dream. Like, how could you not identify with that as a 9-year-old kid with the aspirations of hopefully becoming a wrestler? So to go in an hour against Bret Hart, who's like your hometown hero almost, and just having this awesome matchup, and then, you know, the boyhood dream coming true, and just... Man, like, yeah, it just totally captured my imagination. It was just like, yep, that's the goal right there, you know?
Yep. That's still one of my greatest memories, is watching Shawn evolve into that character and go from the rocker Shawn Michaels to that Iron Man match. I mean, the whole story to get to that point is something incredible for a wrestler storyline. So
for sure.
I
loved the Rockers when I was growing up, because that was... And then I was so sad the day that he kicked, you know, Marty. I was
super kick and right through the window.
I know. Right through the window, yeah. Oh well. So, Chris, we just partnered with WrestleJoy, and we have an important question that we want to ask everybody. So, Mr. Christopher, go ahead.
It's really about what about wrestling do you see that makes you joyful? What part of wrestling brings out joy to you when you're watching wrestling, not only as a kid, but now as a wrestler?
You know, it's different once you get into wrestling. A lot of the magic gets taken away from you. You just, all these, you know, secrets revealed, and just the grind of it all, and trying to climb up ladders and really trying to get attention for yourself. But at the end of the day, I watch now and I reflect back on when I was watching as a kid. And I think the biggest thing is just the stories and the emotional connection that you have with certain people in their own personal, you know, adventures in wrestling. And also as a kid, it was Shawn Michaels chasing after that title and trying to get that boyhood dream. Later on, you know, you're watching these guys evolve, say like an Edge just evolving and trying to climb that ladder and seeing that grind of trying to make it to that next step in life to really cement yourself as a somebody. And even now seeing performers like a Kofi Kingston, who despite his lack of size, despite the color of his skin, just rose to the occasion and was given the platform and earned it through hard work and rallying the people behind him. That sort of stuff is what connects with me. Overall, I mean, I love the goofiest of goofy in wrestling as well. I mean, I could tell you 100 stories, but like guys like Hurricane trying to choke slam Triple H and Stone Cold at the same time, things like those just stand out as well. Like just getting a laugh out of these very serious, intense moments as well. It just, there's just so much magic still there for me in those aspects.
Jay, we've just connected so much between Shawn Michaels and now the Hurricane. You don't understand the geek out I do for the Hurricane. Yeah. We were at the Royal Rumble in Philly, and the Hurricane came out, and I could not control my geek.
He literally jumped about 10 feet off the ground. It was crazy.
That would have been me. That would have been me at my couch. I remember we had like a spirit week at school where we dress up, and it was superhero day. And you better believe the superhero that I chose was Hurricane Helms.
That is awesome, Jay. Yeah. I am so impressed. And yeah, same page.
Right.
You guys are best friends now. I mean, look at that.
Yeah. We are. Did we just become best friends?
Let's go do some karate in the garage.
I got a drum set. I'll bring that over. You guys can just jam on it for a little bit.
Right.
And you know what? That's one of the great things about wrestling, you know, what you said before, that it brings the serious stuff and it brings the funny stuff, and it's able to incorporate both of those, for a better word, angles together, you know, to make a story, which is, I think, so great about, you know, the wrestling industry, watching as a kid and believing that, you know, the Undertaker, who was one of my favorites, was, you know, from a parts on, he you didn't know where he was from. He just all of a sudden, and then when he gets knocked down and he comes up and it's just like, oh yeah, you get pumped as a kid. So the one thing you mentioned was the grind. So, you know, what keeps you motivated when you're, you know, not currently with, you know, the whole pandemic situation, but, you know, when you're out there wrestling, you know, what keeps you motivated on the daily, on the weekly, on the monthly, on the yearly?
It's tricky, and I think every person is unique, but in how they handle this and just their careers in general. But the reason I have the gimmick that I do, the reason I called myself the social media superstar and now evolved into this glitch in the system, is that I didn't come in with any sort of athletic background or any knowledge on health and fitness. I came in just a kid with a dream, and people didn't really have faith in a 120-pound kid, you know, stepping between the ropes and there were no training opportunities either for me. So I had to find my own way through this system. And one of the benefits of mine was just being from a computer background. I spent a lot of time on the computer, whether it was fantasy booking wrestling or learning how to make, you know, websites for wrestlers and stuff of that, like that. So I used those skills, and it evolved into social media, which came around at around the same time. And I really believed in the power of social media and in what it could become. And it's something I always doubled down in. And so social media has actually been the thing that has held me a little bit more accountable through these times and just throughout my entire career. It became my identity in that I would form much more personal connections, and I would open up my world, my thoughts, my ambitions, and I would just hustle with all these videos and stuff and let people in on my journey in not only becoming a pro wrestler, but getting to the levels that I've reached today. And I tried using it and growing my platform so that I don't just work within my little area, but I'm really trying to connect with the entire world and let them know what's going on in my little corner.
Nice. For those of you that don't know, you come from a relatively small town in Canada.
Very small. So like, it's not even, you can't even technically call it a town. It's a village. There's 450 people living in. So like very, very small. Not a whole lot of wrestling fans growing up around me either. So how to get point A of dreaming to point B of being was impossible to most people. Most people thought it wouldn't happen, but here I am. And like I said, just that lack of knowledge of how to get there and the lack of that fitness and health knowledge really gave me a handicap going into this to pursue it as a possible career venture.
So like you have the idea, you want to be a wrestler. There's not too much around you. You know, you're on the smaller side of what people would think a wrestler would be. You know, how do you break in? Where do you start? Where do you go? What do you do? Like, what's that story? You know, how does that happen?
Yeah, so I was insane and just was going to do it come hell or high water. And the only vision that I could see as far as a path of how to get into WWE was I was going to do film studies and hopefully turn into a screenwriter and hopefully get onto the writing team. That was a goal. That's something I pictured at 18 years old. So I began film studies at the university around Winnipeg. And about a year in, I was just happened to be walking through the hallways. It was like a 7 o'clock at night math class I had to go to. And I found a flyer on the ground, and there was a picture of Samoa Joe and AJ Styles on this flyer, two names that I recognized. And it was live pro wrestling. And I had no idea about any sort of local scene within Winnipeg, Manitoba. So I found the flyer. It had a website on it. Right away, emailed the contact there, which put me in touch with a promoter. And I said, I want to become a wrestler. I'll come to training. I'll set up that ring. I'll tear down that ring. I will do absolutely anything you guys need. This is the goal. This is what I want to do. And he put me in touch. And there was some training going on at the time, the night before. So it was a Wednesday night, the night before their show. I showed up, and the wrestling ring was already set up. And there was two other young guys right around my age. And they asked me if I was cool with stepping in, and of course, right? So I take my first steps in a wrestling ring and just sort of get shown how to kind of loosely run the ropes. And it was just like at that moment, it was like, I'm home. Like, this is exactly where I need to be. And I did the training for the night, and then our trainer quickly disappeared because they had a venture in Mexico to go pursue. So training just stopped. And from that point on, it was just learning as I went by listening to people, watching matches, eventually getting the opportunity to referee, eventually earning credibility as a referee and refereeing some high profile matches, say like Kenny Omega against Davey Richards back in the day. I refereed a lot of Kenny's matches when he was still in Winnipeg. Other guys around here that Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Steve Corino, and just learning from guys at a high level and understanding how they're putting together matches. It gave me a sharper mind, I feel, that a lot of people don't have when they're thrown in as a pro wrestler. So when it came time, I'd proven my worth as far as refereeing, putting time in setting up and tearing down rings, and really giving my all to the promotion. They they kind of kicked doors open for me and gave me the opportunity to become a manager. And from that point, it was proving my mic skills, proving that I could get over. And eventually I got over enough where they decided they were going to throw me into the ring. And things just kept evolving that way. It's sort of this backdoor way that I got in, but at the same time, it was just showing loyalty and hard work and real perseverance to really wanting to do this and really getting a mind for it from some really, again, just high level guys that knew what they were doing and willing to share so much with me at that time.
And that story right there, like, literally That's leads awesome. Me into two directions. One is, for anybody listening to this, and if you're thinking about getting into wrestling and you've listened to some of our other interviews, hustle. The word hustle, and just put the time in, get there. If you want that dream, just hustle. I mean, this is what, Chris, the fifth one that we've had, and I think the theme through every single one of them is, if this is what you want to do, break your butt and do it and
go get
it and hustle and get it in. Now, the second thing I thought of was being a ref. How hard is it to be a ref? Because, you know, we look at it on TV, we're like, oh, yeah, I could easily just bounce around the ring, go 1, 2, no, 1, 2, 3. I could count people out. But, like, what is, like, the background of the ref in the ring, and how does that tie into, like, the whole match when you're actually in there?
So it's not easy, but it's very possible to learn to become a ref. But to become a good ref, to become a great ref, you really need to build the psychology, much like the wrestler. The ref lends so much credibility to the sporting aspect of what we do in the ring that it goes unnoticed, and it's a good thing that it goes unnoticed. It means that the match becomes much more believable because the ref is instilling the rules of the match so that, you know, it just doesn't become a melee. While at the same time, they also help build the drama with their sense of placement in the ring, with the movements, with their sense of timing, and the way they react to certain moves within the ring. It's hard. You try to help these young guys coming up that want to referee and eventually maybe even move on. And you tell them to go watch some of the greats like the Earl Hebners, and even Aubrey Edwards is another good one to watch. It's hard to focus on the referee rather than the wrestlers in the match. But to really understand the psychology of what makes a good match or a great match, it really takes a great referee to help elevate some of the drama in that.
That's all. And we've wanted to talk to referees, you know, we've been reaching out and trying to, like, talk. So it's awesome that you have, like, a little bit of the background there, and it just makes your whole, like, your whole character, your whole story, like, come, like, full circle, because you have a little bit of everything in the wrestling business in your backpack, and you could pull it out at any time and just be like, yeah, you need me to do that? Yeah, I can do that. No problem.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, currently you are the PCW Canadian champion, correct?
Right. Yes.
Now, you are on some sort of record-breaking streak. I think you'll get there.
Thank God for quarantine.
It's funny you say that, because I said the exact same thing to Chris before we got on. But how has that ride been? Tell everybody, like, when you initially won it, who you wrestled against, and hopefully, and we'll get to this question next. Hopefully, there is a next, and we'll get to another match soon. So, you know, how long has it actually been, roughly?
Roughly, I believe it's day 401 that I've held on to this title. Everything kind of stopped in motion in mid-March. So, I mean, there's been a few months, disappointing months, where I've wanted to get in the ring and defend it. But this is my fourth reign as Canadian champion. That's more than anyone else in the company's history. And it's funny because starting out, this Canadian title was like the workhorse championship, you know? It's the guys having some of the best matches, some of the best characters, some of the guys that are really just on the cusp of really achieving some greatness. And it's a title that I always wanted, and I worked really hard to get that first reign, and the second and the third reign were awesome, and different chances to prove myself in different environments. But this fourth reign really feels special because I'm the first ever four-time champion. And not only that, I've now had the longest reign at 401 days, and I'm inching closer and closer to Kenny Omega's record of most days as champion. And I believe now I am 68 days away from tying that record. And Kenny's was with the heavyweight championship. So, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of a difference in perception-wise for the title, but it's always been my goal to elevate my championship. So to hold it as long as I have with as many challengers that have come at me, guys that are even former heavyweight champions, I think it goes to show that I've really proven my worth to the company and just amongst all of the Winnipeg wrestling scene that I deserve it. Yeah, thank you.
It's really impressive. Yeah, and it is. You talk about the prestige of a championship. It doesn't matter what the title of a championship it is. It's how you hold yourself and how you hold that title and lift it to a different level. And
you
obviously have done that, being the only four-time champion. And hopefully, I can't wait for you to get closer and knock out Kenny Omega. I think that's going to be a great day. So
it'd be pretty cool if it happens. I'm excited.
Very cool.
Now, I know things are kind of starting to open up here in the States. I know that there's something happening, I think, in the end of June, middle of June, beginning of July. Is anything opening up in Canada for you guys? You know, do you know when? Have they even given you a timetable or anything?
So our province, which is sort of like a state, I guess you could compare in the U.S., has actually been the best throughout this entire thing. Everyone just really buckled down and was awesome in staying away. And I mean, our numbers, I think we just hit our 300th case total, like total out of the whole province. Wow. And it's a fairly big province.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, if I remember right, there's only 8 active cases and nobody's in the hospital.
That's good.
And the numbers are going down too. So like, it's pretty amazing. But at the same time, with how serious we did take it, we are still taking it seriously. And we don't want to see things open up too much, especially with borders and stuff, right? Like everyone around us still has some pretty alarming numbers that are still rising. So we're trying to just stay ahead and keep things as shut down as possible. Restaurants are starting to open up. Bars are starting to open up. There has been a lot of discussion. You know, us at PCW are an amazing team and a real tight-knit family, and we're in constant communication. We're looking at the very earliest, maybe a late summer show in August or something, and then come back with one of our annual big shows in the fall for like a really big bang to really get the crowd excited and pumped for wrestling to be back in the province.
A light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's definitely.
August. So August is about, how many days is that?
Chris
August
is moving the abacus around, trying to figure it out.
I can't wait. I'm excited for you. But yeah, hopefully you get back in the ring soon. I know you guys
are
probably itching pretty bad. So
definitely.
So you mentioned you're obviously very active on social media. Really cool YouTube channels. Love some of the stuff you put up there. I think Captain Chuckles pointed me to one of them with the one around Christmas time around Joey Janela's Spring Break. I thought that was an amazing YouTube video.
Hilarious.
Go watch it.
Hilarious.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So with that, there was a match that you kind of basically described and theorized the entire match that was done by WWE, the Firefly Funhouse match. And you got some notoriety for that. You had an article. I know some people tweeted at you. What was that like? What made you sit there and tweet out all, how many tweets was it total? Because it was a good bit in a row.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
there's only so many characters.
Right. It was weird. I'd done threads in the past, especially I talked about storytelling and how important that was. It's just what I connect with in wrestling, and I really enjoy that process. So I've done threads in the past, but this one was weird, and I think it's just because there was so much confusion around that Firefly Funhouse match that people just sort of gravitated to it, and maybe I helped point them in a right direction or help them understand the match. But, I mean, my phone can be pretty busy some days on social, but this was another level. And this was weird to me because here's a wrestler just describing a match kind of segment by segment here. And all of a sudden some wrestling journalists are sharing it. And then my phone really goes crazy. And then all of a sudden people are tagging me in articles that the headline was literally Canadian indie wrestler Jay Walker breaks down. It's like, that's not news. Like what's so special about this? It was really different to be put on blast in that, but it was awesome. And I think the most amazing moment that I didn't expect, and it just some little pat on the back, but Bray Wyatt actually responded to it as well and gave like a little wink and a nudge to the whole thing. Yeah. I thought that was cool. You know, some guy that didn't have to do it or acknowledge it whatsoever, but it just goes to show that sometimes it's the weirdest things that you put out there that just really get you some attention in this world, you know?
Well, I mean, the time you put in to describe and theorize everything that was going on, it tells to your knowledge of wrestling and storytelling because you obviously pay attention. And I think that's important. If it's important point of wrestling is if you pay attention, these stories are really well written and have layers to them. And you were pointing that out to people. And I think you were giving people like 12 aha moments where everyone was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Right.
Which I think everybody, again, relates to. And it brings you back to that joy and passion of wrestling. And it was amazing. I pointed everybody on this podcast to it, every one of my followers to it. I said, go check this guy out because he just basically laid out exactly why this match was awesome.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you for that. We appreciate you for that.
It's nice to have that perspective of a wrestler on a wrestling event. You know, you get that little bit of an insight into it.
Yeah. And sometimes you guys are a little more guarded for obvious reasons, but to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and even show that you're a fan too, it's nice to see.
For sure, yeah.
So a lot about wrestling. Let's take a break from wrestling for a second. I know Chuck's got some more questions about it, but I'm going to ask a question that has nothing to do with wrestling. Outside of wrestling, you're not in the ring right now. What kind of hobbies do you have? What keeps you, you know, just interested outside of a wrestling ring?
My mind runs a mile a minute, and that's why I enjoy wrestling too. I think it really slows me down at some points. I don't know. I'm a family guy, so I've got a little daughter, so I like to, you know, give her some time with me. My wife as well. And as far as hobbies or interests, honestly, having grown up in the restaurant business, it's something I obsess about on the side and as a possible future, you know, if this doesn't pan out or, you know, just something to pick up and do. My dad and mom are still running their restaurant. They've been at it for over 30 years now. So trying to introduce them to the next generation of business and marketing and things of that nature. I'm trying to do press and social media for them. I do graphic design on the side. That's one of my big interests. And that's what helped open doors for me in wrestling was designing posters and 8x10s and logos and t-shirt designs. That keeps me fairly busy on the side as well. So yeah, between those two things, and sleep, I've got a pretty full workload.
Yeah, sleep.
That's an important one. Happens every now and then.
So the next part is my favorite part. It's the favorites. So we ask our traditional favorites, and if you've heard us before, you know what those are. I'm going to start off with two that we probably haven't asked before. So one is, what is your favorite culinary dish to eat? I know, out of the blue. Well, we were just talking about restaurants and eating, and you know, it kind of flows in.
I like it. I'm a diehard pizza guy. No matter what, like screw the wrestling diet. Sometimes you just need to have pizza. What else? I like to explore. I'm not afraid to really go outside of my wheelhouse and try new things. But overall, like nothing beats a good, solid, thick crusted pizza, you know, with a little bit of a kick to it. I like my spicy food.
There you go. What's the best dish at your parents' restaurant?
Oh, that's tough. The burgers are pretty amazing. There's three like amazing burgers. They're done on a flame grill. One's a spicy one I go for all the time. We're Canadian up here, very Canadian themed restaurant. We call it a lumberjack burger.
Nice.
But it's got jalapenos on there. It's flame grilled and it's like a big third pound thick patty. So it's pretty juicy going down, you know?
Nice. Now I'm getting hungry again. I'm gonna have to eat later. So being Canadian, my next question is, were you a hockey fan? And if you were, do you have a favorite hockey team?
I love when people ask this question. I despise absolutely any sport because our sports network up here, TSN, would postpone Monday Night Raw sometimes for some playoff game or some sort of tournament going on. So any sport that got in the way of pro wrestling for me was just immediately boycotted as a child, and I never got into anything since.
I love it. Hey, that's a good answer. A good answer. Okay, so favorite city to wrestle in?
There's been a couple. I think I enjoy the home city of Winnipeg just because the fans are just like this family that come out and just bond over it all the time. And I sit by the tables at the end of the night and make sure I chat and catch up with all of them. It's just this awesome atmosphere. I haven't wrestled yet, but we went to Chicago last summer for All Out and was hoping to get booked on a couple of the shows. But man, the environment out there was pretty insane. I would love to get a match or two in Chicago sometime soon.
Love Chicago. We've been to Chicago a bunch of times. I've been to Chicago a bunch of times. We went to WrestleMania in Chicago one year. It's a great place. Other than New York City, which is the background of where Chris and I grew up, you know. Chicago's okay. a close second. Favorite opponent that you've wrestled thus far into your career?
I've got a few, so it's hard to narrow it down to one.
That's okay. We'll take a few.
Leo London is one. These are all local guys. Leo London, mm-hmm. Alex Vanna is a really tight friend of mine where we just click so well. We've had half-hour Ironman matches, 60-minute Ironman matches, ladder matches, street fights, you name it. We go all out on each other. James Beaver is another great one where we've murdered each other in the ring. And as far as any big names, it was one of my, I think, my fifth wrestling match, but we just bonded after because it was so great, was the Honky Tonk Man, actually. I was so fresh into it, but he carried me so well and just calling some of the stuff in the ring, and just he really respected how well I handled myself being in there with them. It was just this weird friendship that developed from that. And since then, it's been fun getting into the ring with them every other time.
That's awesome.
That crowd did not like you. They were all behind the Honky Tonk Man.
And that's just coming out of my manager run. Like I was five matches into my wrestling career, and just it works, right? Prove myself.
You had the heat. It was perfect. For sure. You had the heat.
So,
and that guitar shot at the end.
You got to get hit with a guitar by the Honky Tonk Man.
I mean,
you have to.
The thing exploded. It was insane.
What is your favorite stipulation to have in one of your matches?
I've had the chance. I've been lucky. And I've done the Ironman matches. I've done 2 out of 3 falls, ladder match, cage match. I really like the drama behind a ladder match. I don't know if that's the old Shawn Michaels and Edge fan coming out of me, but just there's something special. And there's a lot of creativity and storytelling at hand when you have a ladder or ladders to work with. So it really gives this larger than life spectacle addition on top of just a normal pro wrestling match. I think that one is my personal favorite.
And a lot of danger.
Yeah, a little bit.
And we like danger as wrestling fans, I feel.
Right. But I'm kind of stupid enough to put up with it too. So.
Favorite moment so far in your career?
Oh boy. The one that sticks out the most would have been at the last PCW anniversary show. getting to the main event of that, headlining for the heavyweight championship, was something I never thought I would accomplish due to my lack of size starting out, or just my lack of training or whatnot. I just never felt like the ball was ever really given to me in that in that way. But I was allowed the opportunity, and I was nervous. I had so much anxiety going into that thing, just because there was so much more added pressure, and the audience was really behind me for the first time as a babyface in my career. So there was a lot to prove in that thing, and I had this big story coming into it that I wanted to tell throughout the match, and I thought I came off excellent. It was a triple threat, and it came down to just me and the champion. The other guy was kind of taken care of, and it was so close. I almost had it, and then it just kind of slipped through my fingers in the end, but I lost the match. But at the end, the champion walked away, and I was the one left in the ring, and the entire building was chanting my name, and that was probably the most humbling and appreciative thing that's happened, was just the crowd, despite everything they saw, despite some of the amazing talent that they saw at the end of the night on the biggest show of the year in Winnipeg, everyone was actually chanting my name for a change, instead of, you know, what you saw them chanting at the beginning of that Honky Tonk Man match so many years ago.
That's great that your favorite moment isn't you winning something or you doing something, but it's something that the fans did for you to make you feel appreciated inside. So right. That's awesome. So the last favorite we have is taking away wherever you live, no promotions. Who is your dream match against who currently wrestles?
So growing up, it was Shawn Michaels, but he's retired, so that probably isn't going to happen.
See, and I switch this question up sometimes. Sometimes I say, it could be anybody. But today, right? I was like, we're going to hone in.
And I didn't think this next one would be possible, that, you know, I would say since 1996, I've been dreaming of happening, because he happened to be from close by. Chris Jericho. Now, because of AEW, and we've got these kind of crazy ties with Kenny coming back to Winnipeg from time to time. Fingers crossed that someday, somehow, some way, that match in some form does happen. He's been on my list. He's somebody I'd followed and idolized for a very long time. So to get in the ring with Y2J would be pretty, pretty damn sweet.
So Jericho, I know that you're listening. I know when we put this up, I know that you're listening. Please make it happen. Come on.
To see Chris Jericho put Jay Walker in the old school walls of Jericho would be the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for the vote of confidence.
You're in the ring.
Yeah. So, last question. We're here. It's the most important question. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, and, you know, countries and different areas of the world, they all have different, you know, foods and drinks and cookies and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully in Canada, you guys have Oreos. Hopefully.
We have what, sorry?
Oreos.
Oreos. Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. So good.
Let's Canada. Get Oreos.
Hey. You just have to, you have to check on these things. Sometimes some places have like the fake Oreos, you know? So right. The Oreo question is, do you prefer single stuff or double stuff?
Oof. I feel like I'm going to get I'm turning heel here, guys. I'm not a fan of Oreos. I used to be as a kid. And that's I don't okay. think double stuffed, I don't think double stuffed were around back then. I love a good rainbow Chips Ahoy over.
I love it. I love it. The wild card.
Nice. we've had two wild cards in a row. We had Ray Fury last time say that he took them apart and took the one with the most amount of cream on this one and then opened up another cookie and took the one with the most amount of cream on this one and then put those most amount of creams together. We never had that one before.
That's just madness. Insanity. At least he came with the rainbow cookie.
I'm good. I like that answer. I like that answer.
Right on.
Well, Jay, we had a lot of fun. We appreciate you taking some time with us. But right now, it's your time. So what do you got going on? Where can people go to support you? Where can people go to check out your stuff? Give everybody a quick kind of roll down of all the places they can go find Jay Walker.
Right on. So I've said this before in other places, but being in Winnipeg, Manitoba, you're very geographically challenged as far as different events to go to. It's hard to make it as a career as a pro wrestler. So I've stopped catering to just the Winnipeg audience. I cater to the entire world, and that's why I created the weekly YouTube videos that I do called Unhacked. The easiest way to find me through YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram is to all go to the same handle. It's everywhere. It's I am Jay Walker. That's I-A-M Jay Walker. Again, weekly videos. I'm very active on social media. I've got a whole bunch of matches if you want to go check out and find out if I'm worth your time. I even wrestled a t-shirt, which went a little bit viral a couple of months ago before this whole quarantine thing happened. Just try to get my name out there. Thank you. I think it's very entertaining, and from everyone else's response, it was. So, I do some crazy things sometimes, but it's all in the name of trying to make a career out of this crazy dream as a pro wrestler. I don't have a lot of options as far as traveling, but I'm hoping that some big things happen. I had one slip through my fingers before, again, this all happened, WrestleMania weekend. But it is what it is. I'm going to keep cracking at it every single week until something happens, and I'm not going away until it does.
Nice.
We appreciate the grind. We appreciate the hustle.
Keep hustling. Yes.
I mean, you got two fans here. We're going to keep watching. We've already subscribed. If you haven't, get out there, subscribe. Chuck's going to put all those things at the end here. Follow that stuff. Reach out to Jay. He's real easy to talk to. He's got some intelligent things to talk about on Twitter. And check you should be following YouTube. If you don't. The YouTube channel is
YouTube.
Amazing.
It is amazing. Some of those videos. amazing.
So, again, Jay, we appreciate your time. Again, this was another interview with the Bald Monkeys podcast. I'm Christopher. That's Captain Chuckles. Go ahead, hit the like. Go hit the subscribe. And go check us out at the new WrestleJoy.com. WrestleJoy.com, the new website where we're only going to be positive about wrestling. It's the most amazing thing we've ever thought of.
It is.
But go check it out and go check out the other articles you got on there. So until next time, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for joining us.